You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Ah, yes it is on this Friday night when you can say, finally, it has been done. Yes, hit the music. Go ahead, just enjoy your night. And I know it's a little old school, but why not? Why not? Sit, dance, enjoy, revel. It's been a sucky 2020, but you should enjoy every last minute of what happened today in a blowout 26-4 vote. Steve Cohen, hashtag Stevie Savior. He is going to be in charge of the Mets. The final little details getting worked out over the next 10 days. But here's how you know we're completely done. He's put out a statement. The Wilpons have put out a statement. It is done. 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 D-O-N-E. Done. Wow. I have to say, I never thought this day would come. As recently as last year, watching the organization handle itself, watching the owners handle themselves the way they have, I never for one second thought that they would end up selling this franchise. But the person that you really have to thank, Met fans, above all else, is Saul Katz. Because Saul Katz has wanted to get out for the longest time. And when they started talking about who was going to get what in the estate, it became clear that they had to move on from the team. They had to sell it immediately and do the best they could while they could, because they had an awful lot of debt coming. So in rides Stevie Savior. Steve Cohen is the owner of the New York Mets. Wow. Your long, flushing baseball nightmare is over. There are so many different things here to feel good about. And I don't for a minute want to take anything away, because we don't know what kind of an owner Steve Cohen is going to be. But in this case, you know the old saying, the devil that you know might be better than the devil that you don't. I'll take the devil that you don't. Because what's transpired with the New York Mets over the last 15 years specifically has just been remarkably sad. Remarkably sad. Look, there have been crushing losses. There have been so many disappointing off seasons. There have been so many missteps when it comes to free agency. There's been so many missteps when it comes to public relations and how to handle stories. Just in so many times, so much disappointment over the course of the Wilpon ownership, but really over the last 15 to 20 years specifically. And now it has finally come to an end. I never thought that Jeff Wilpon would lose a battle in power, but he did. And that's what happened here, because Jeff clearly wanted to be the guy to own this franchise and that pass it on to his kids and such. And frankly, there's a piece of advice I got a long time ago, ironically, from someone in baseball. Never ask a rich man's son for advice. Because what advice could they possibly have to give you from any life experience? Jeff's not a bad guy. The Wilpons wanted to win. But what transpired when Bernie Madoff happened, but more specifically when they built the stadium, was really the beginning of the end. They built it with no soul of the New York Mets in it. It was where Fred made a huge mistake, building his own Ebbets Field that he wanted to honor the Dodgers with instead of his own organization. not really realizing that his fan base had a true sense of history to it, an appreciation of history, and they were flat out angry, but really more so financially, that stadium did them in. You know, they started making money when it came to SNY. They made a fortune there for a long time, but they had to go to that well to keep things going. And they had to get out. They meant well in wanting to win. I know of many, many occasions where they didn't handle people well. They didn't treat people well. I know of other occasions where they did. I'm not going to sit and try to paint the Wilpon regime as anything outside of what it was. And that's an incredible disappointment. And that's an incredibly frustrating period in the history of this franchise. But now it starts anew. Now it starts with someone who is the richest owner in all of baseball. How does that sound? It doesn't mean that Steve Cohen's going to walk in the door and throw money around like it's nothing. But when you see Steve Cohen's initial statement, and he mentions the words, free agency starts Sunday night, so we're going to wrap this up in a hurry. You know, brighter days are ahead. How about this from Steve Cohen walking in the door? Every Met fan or every Met employee that had to take a pay cut over the last year, every Met employee that had to put themselves in a bad spot financially will now have all of it restored. This is from Joel Sherman, part of Cohen's statement. All Mets employees, including unionized groundskeepers, security guards, and engineers, will receive reinstituted pre-pandemic salaries as of November 1st, reversing the 5 to 30% pay cut implemented in March. The value of that commitment alone, $7 million. You talk about a way to try to build some real loyalty in the beginning from the organization. This is somebody that's going to come in and want to win, yes, but it feels like it's a new day. It feels like a weight has been lifted. A 5'8", 180-pound weight has been lifted. I'm sorry, I don't mean to knock Jeff, but honestly, I think that's where it all went wrong. Outside of the money, okay? You know, when the Mets have actually spent some money in the past and things have just gone horribly wrong for the organization, I think that where things have gone wrong, when they have tried to at least maintain a level of competition, a competitive team, by playing it very middle of the road at best, it's been because Jeff has fancied himself a baseball man. He is not. And you might ask him, he might deny that. I know that he has said to people, well, you know, listen, as somebody that played the game, I understand what I'm doing here. Said that to people. As somebody that played the game, who was a backup catcher in A-ball for about a week and signed as a favor. Is somebody that played the game. Okay. We don't need to rehash the past. What you need to do now is celebrate. Enjoy your night. You tip back a cold one if that's your thing. You're not doing it. I don't know what the hell you're doing. Enjoy every last minute of what this means. Ding dong! The witch is dead. And as soon as next week, you could be seeing the real impact of change. How does that sound? Stevie Sager. Carlin, 800-919-3776. Let us hit the phones. Let us begin with Spike in New Jersey. Spike, you're up first, brother. How are you?
I'm doing great today. Thanks for getting me on. I sent you a tweet. I want to share it with your audience. I want Steve Cohen to be like Ralph Cramden when he found the money in the back of the bus. I want him.
It came easy and went just as fast.
Yeah, he did before he found out it was counterfeit, right? I want him to walk in and go, 100 it's for you, 100 for you.
We don't need to find out it's all counterfeit, okay? We don't need to find out that Steve Cohen is actually not a billionaire, but he's John Spano. He's Bernie Madoff. We don't need that to happen.
that would be something. Yeah, he just came up with the $3
billion. That would be more than something. That would be awful. That would be god-awful.
I mean,
come on, Spike.
No. I just mean I want him to come in and flash the green. I want him to come out the free. That remark he made on free agency is about the much of an antithesis of the Wilpons way they've run that team, and you know firsthand. But I want him to go in. I don't care how much he loses the first year. It was a wonderful gesture hiring back everybody at pre-pandemic pay, I think you said, and just go in there and buy everything you can. Pay full bust-out price. Show some good faith to these long. I'm a Yankee fan,
no
but
I don't just bin. Although, actually, you know what I mean? This year may not be, you know, bargain bin this year. You might be allowed to do that.
Yeah, that's right. While the irons are hot, strike. Go in and get this free agent, and I'll take him, and I'll pay more. Just show something for the Mets, because they've really been deprived of being flushed with money over the years and missed out on some really good guys. You know, I don't know how the game's going. I agree with you, and thanks for the time. Great to hear you. I got to tell you something. I didn't enjoy the baseball as much as I thought I would, even though I missed it. Seeing these 6'6", 6'7" guys come in and throw as hard as they can for as many minimum outs as they have to get, it doesn't do much for me. It really doesn't.
Spike, I enjoyed watching it. Thanks for the call. I didn't. It wasn't anything that I was riveted to, frankly. I mean, there were some good games. I wasn't riveted to it, and I still don't feel like it was great. I don't feel like it was anything that I would personally feel like, wow, that was unreal. And that whole season, that whole World Series means to me as much of a regular championship does. The only reason I don't knock it as much as maybe I would have is that the two best teams were in the World Series. And frankly, in this instance, that's what matters to me. Vinny in Mattawan, New Jersey. Vincenz, what's
up,
baby?
How you doing, brother? First of all, I didn't know you'd have me following Spike. He's a legend.
Well, you know. He's a legend? So, is that what you said?
Oh, he's a legend. He calls every show. He's the best.
No, I know. Spike is a legend.
And like Spike, I identify as a Yankee fan.
Okay.
But I do have a Cohen question. Mm-hmm. Does this affect access to Mets players for ESPN Radio?
That's a great question. I tend to doubt it, knowing, having been on both sides of the fence, so to speak, I know what the mentality is at the other place about making sure to keep Mets players off of ESPN radio. It very well may. Steve Cohen may not care, but ultimately, I'm not sure. I know, I can guarantee you, that the other place will do everything they can to keep Mets players and Yankee players
right,
off
the field. Right, because people listen and they want, and you know, they want to hear their guys. So that's why I'm a Yankee fan.
Of course, but you got to remember one thing, that there's an awful lot of money changing hands for the rights to those broadcasts, so they're going to speak up when they hear Yankees or Mets on ESPN radio.
Right, and the Mets have been the little brother, and let's see who's the big brother now.
I don't know if it's that so much. And thanks for the call, Vinny. That's an interesting thought. You know, the Mets have been the little brother. Well, I don't expect this all to change from that standpoint. And I think if you're a Met fan, that's ridiculously unrealistic. I would not expect that, because I think if you want that to happen, you're looking in the wrong area. You don't need to focus on whether or not the Yankees are more important than you or anything like that. What you need to focus on is your own team getting back to winning and getting back to having a payroll and having an organization that is representative of New York City. And that is commensurate with being in the biggest market in the world. That's what you need to focus on. Look, we can talk chapter and verse on so many of the other teams that have won championships here or played for championships here that were little brothers that people still didn't care about. I mean, the Nets brought Jason Kidd in the early 2000s and played in the finals twice, and they actually didn't sell out some games in the finals. The Nets brought Kevin Durant in and Kyrie Irving in, and now Steve Nash is the coach. Do you think that the Nets are ever going to overtake the Knicks? They're not. They're not. They're always going to be secondary. The Devils, the Islanders, always going to be secondary to the Rangers. The Devils have won how many cups? And still, nobody cares in a lot of ways. It's just the way it is, unfortunately. The one sect of fans care, but that's it. The Mets, more so, on a level where when I go out and I talk to fans, right, it's never 50-50 Mets and Yankees. That's not what it is in this area. It's not. It's 66-33, two-thirds, one-third. That's what it is, if you want to be fair about trying to gauge that. So if you're going to look at it that way, don't worry about passing the Yankees in terms of popularity and all that. You're a Met fan. Live for today. Live in the now, damn it. You have been dying for this day for a long time. That, to me, is something ancillary to worry about. I think I just spit on the camera by accident. That's ancillary. Worry more about just getting your team to a situation of being more competitive. And I know we can say that they're not all that far away, but they're far enough away. You know, there's still a good amount of work to do here. John's on the car phone. John, what's going on?
Hey, Chris, how you doing? I'm not coming at you with this comment.
You can do whatever you want, big cat.
No, not at you. I think you made some good points last night as it relates to the Dodger, and I'm not a baseball fan, so forgive me, the Dodger that ran on the field having COVID. Yeah, and your comments, I think it was Max Kellerman was saying you should get a year. I think that, you know, and you said that was extreme. I agree.
Yeah.
But then right after that, you went into talking about Trevor Lawrence and the fact, obviously, that it is COVID, and this week they got BC and he's out. But then the following week they got Notre Dame, and there's absolutely no way that he's not playing in that game. They'll find a way to get him on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what bothers me here, and you and I have talked in the past, I don't know if you recognize the voice, but I'm a big college athletic guy. I'm a coach.
Okay.
You can't have it both ways. And I'm not criticizing
you. Do you think I was endorsing it happening with Trevor Lawrence?
No, I don't think you were. But I think a lot of people are. And you can't have it both ways.
Of course not.
If you don't want to punish severely, then you can't let a guy come back prematurely. It doesn't work both ways, and that's why we're going to struggle as this thing gets worse.
Yeah, I can tell you that I've already heard, John, of different people that have talked about, well, it turns out it's 10 days from when they first start feeling symptoms. And he first started feeling symptoms on Monday. It's not from when he actually tested positive. So, like, that crap is already flying out there. You are not wrong. You are not wrong. We can't have it both ways. When I talk about Justin Turner, do I feel like he should be punished? I do. I do. Because he did something that was incredibly selfish in the way that he did it. But it's one of those things where I understand why he did it. When it comes to Trevor Lawrence, there's a 20, 21-year-old kid. And we all know who's in charge of whether or not Trevor Lawrence plays. And that's the coach. And if they're going to bring him back in good conscience and think that he is not cleared from that entire protocol, well, that's just utterly awful for a head coach to do.
Now, if you indulge me for 1 second, I completely agree with you. Now, but then you and I go out in the street and we're walking around society and we're seeing the same thing. Some people being good citizens and wearing masks and others not. And this all, forgive me now, this all stems from leadership from the very, very top. And we got a big problem. Thanks very much for listening.
No problem, John. Thanks. I'm not going to get into it politically because we've got enough of that coming up next week. And frankly, I decided a month or two ago, you know, we had so many times during the pandemic where politics became a big discussion point. This is not supposed to be the place for that, at least to me. You know, I'm living in the sandbox of life, okay? And yes, I will operate according to my own beliefs and moral code and all of that. But I'm not going to try to force it on you when it comes to that. I'm not. I'm going to force my opinions when it comes to sports on you because I'm right. But when it comes to the other stuff, you got enough people screaming and yelling at each other right now. Let's fight about something that we actually enjoy. How about that? Right now, it's time for Celebration. Actually, it wasn't called for, but it's great. Play it. I don't care. Met fans got to love this. Got to absolutely love where they are right now. And the fact that the Wilpons are just very much on the doorstep of departing this whole situation. Now, there were a couple of statements that were put out earlier. We told you about Steve Cohen's statement. And we didn't give you the whole thing yet, but we will do that in just a moment. But the Wilpons also put out a statement, and we'll have that for you as well. Here is the Steve Cohen statement. You can play Celebration underneath this. That's fine. I think that's probably appropriate. Yes, Cool and the Gang approve. I am humbled that MLB owners have approved me to be the next owner of the New York Mets. Owning a team is a great privilege and an awesome responsibility. I would like to thank the owners and Commissioner Manfred and his team for welcoming me to Major League Baseball. And I want to thank Fred Wilpon for inviting me to buy into the franchise in 2012. Fred is one of the game's true gentlemen, and I consider it an honor to be the new owner of this iconic franchise. Most of all, I'd like to thank Met fans for their unwavering support throughout this process. My family and I are lifelong Mets fans, so we're really excited about this. With free agency starting Sunday night, we'll be working toward a quick close. Let's go, Mets! That is your new Mets owner. Already talking about free agency. And in case you missed it, the other thing that he did that's absolutely fantastic is all of the Met fans, all of the Met employees, all of them who have had to take pay cuts over the last several months because of the pandemic, as of November 1st, will across the board have their original salaries reinstated. And that is a cost of $7 million right out of the gate that Steve Cohen is doing to help out the people working for the Mets who have taken anywhere from a 5 to 30% pay cut. That's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Now, let's see here. I have the Wilpon statement. Brian Munguia, who has stepped in nicely tonight and pulling a double shifter today after he was up early this morning with Gordon. We appreciate his help this evening. What do you say we get a little goodbye? Is that a little, is that a little rough? I don't know. Go ahead and play it.
We'll find it.
I told you, Fred Wilpon, I love to death. I really do. He was very, very good to me. But I'll start reading the statement, and if we get to it, we get to the music. On behalf of the Wilpon and Katz families, we are very pleased with the result of today's ownership vote. We'd like to thank Commissioner Manfred for his leadership and guidance through this process. It has been a privilege and an honor for our families to have been a part of this great franchise for the past 40 years. We would like to express our deep appreciation for our loyal and passionate fans who have consistently supported this organization through the years, despite our remarkable mismanagement. Oh, wait. That part wasn't in there. We'd also like to thank the many great players, managers, coaches, dedicated employees with whom we've been privileged to work with and fire throughout the years for their commitment in the interests of our organization, our industry, and our community. Here's part two. This is from Fred Wilpon, this statement, by the way. So let's lay off the goodbye. Jeff might be in there. I don't know. I know that Steve Cohen and his family share the same passion we've had for the Mets and for this city. Steve will continue and will build upon this organization's longstanding commitment to the support of our community and of those in need, which is especially important at this time. He shares the view that Saul, Jeff, and I have long held, that ownership of the Mets is a public trust. I know that he will take that as seriously as we always have. There's still a little bit more, but, you know, let's let that last part there just land for a second. Steve and his family are lifelong Met fans, and we wish them and our fans nothing but success on and off the field in the future. That, the statement from Fred Wilpon, upon the sale being completed, hopefully middle of next week, to Steve Cohen. Ricky, he is in Staten Island. He's next. 98.7 ESPN at 800-919-3776 with the open lines. Ricky, go.
Chris, how are you? I just talked to you yesterday.
Well, good for you. What do you got? What do you got, bud?
All right. Jets question. Now, okay. they're dysfunctional mess. Nobody is denying that. However, I think Joe D is a true bright spot. I don't think he gets a pass for this year's roster as it's constructed, but I think there is a light at the end of the tunnel. That being said, assuming Adam Gase is gone, do you think the Johnsons, whether it's Chris, Woody, or both, will give Joe D the freedom to pick the head coach he wants, or do you think they're going to stick their noses in it? Because I think that's a really
well,
big,
I think if they were to go based on what's transpired over the last few years, don't you have to hand the general manager the ability to do that? Don't you have to give him that after the way it's worked out recently? I think you
absolutely
do.
Absolutely. But I just, you know, sometimes the owners don't necessarily do what you think they should do. So, you know, I just want to know if you honestly think they'll take a step back into the background and let Joe D do his thing.
I hope so. Do I honestly believe it? I'm not there yet. I don't know that I fully believe it as of yet. I don't know that I do. I want to believe it. I'm hoping. I'm saying all the things to avoid saying I believe it because I don't believe it quite yet. But yeah, Ricky, I would hope so. And if I were Joe Douglas and they don't, that's a major problem. And if I had to guess, I would say that Joe would have in his contract, considering he was able to get 6 years out of them in taking the job, and they wanted him so badly that they gave in on a lot of things, that he would have in his contract that he has say over who the next coach will be.
Perfect. That's the exact answer I was looking for.
All right, Ricky. Well, again, I didn't definitively say yes. I say I'm guessing. I hope for you.
Hey, that's good enough. I think that's basically all I could ask for.
All right, well, don't blame me if it gets screwed up.
Hey, man, it's the Jets. I won't blame anybody but the Jets.
Thanks, Ricky. Appreciate the call, dude. Good job. 800-919-3776. Lonnie is in Staten Island. Lonald, what's going on?
Hey, Chris Call. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Lonnie. What do you got?
Well, the gentleman that just got off the phone, I hope that happens. Let this man do his job and step back or sell the team. I agree with him 100%.
They're not selling the team. The Johnsons are not. Like, don't get the fever now all of a sudden just because the Wilpon sold, okay? Don't all of a sudden think that he's selling, that Dolan's selling, that all of that's going to happen. Don't get greedy.
All right. Okay,
one step at a time.
One more question? Can I say one more thing?
Sure.
Well, I'm hearing all this talk that the Jets are talking about trading the number one pick. Why would you trade a guarantee? This Trevor Lawrence is a guarantee, if you ask me. Sam Darnold hasn't shown it enough. Trade him and get draft picks.
Hey, they have one job.
Keep the franchise guy.
Lonnie. I totally agree with you, baby. I'm on board.
Yes.
Here's the problem we're going to run into, and I'm starting to really sense.
Yes.
Is he going to want to play here?
Well, with Gase there, he's not going to want to come. He's not.
Gase is not going
to
be there. Lonnie, stop worrying about Adam Gase. Adam Gase is not going to be the coach of the New York Jets in 2021. That's not happening.
Okay.
I'm telling you, that's not happening. He may not even be the coach by Thanksgiving.
Okay, Chris, I hope you're right. I pray that you're right. I've been following this team for years. I just want to see a good product on the field.
I know you do, and everybody does. We all want to see a good product on the field, and thanks for the call. What we want to see is the Jets managed properly in the right way, and we have seen it before. It wasn't all that long ago. Boy, I tell you what, you know, I know that it went south when Rex and Tannenbaum and the whole thing, you know, just started to fall apart later on, right? And where they really screwed up was firing Mike and then not firing Rex. If you're going to do one thing, you do the other. You do it together, all that. Rex right now looks like the halcyon days. It really does. And I just think that Rex got in his own way sometimes. But think about those first 2 years. Those were great years. They really were. You got on a run first year. You make it to the AFC Championship game, and then you go back-to-back. That's a long time. That's 10 years ago, man. 10 years, man. 10 years! What's going on? Joe Douglas, I believe, will have the say in who the coach is, the final say in who the coach is. Assuming that, you know, when I say final say, unless ownership has a massive, massive problem with him, I absolutely believe he will have the final say. But just sit tight a little bit here. Okay, Gase is not going to be the guy, and as long as the Jets set up the proper organizational structure of having the coach report to the GM, report to the owner, then you're going to be okay. And I'm telling you, I believe 100% in Joe Douglas. I have every belief he is going to get it done. 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. Coming later this hour, your locks of incompetence for week 8. We have been away for a few weeks and unable to make picks here and there, just shortened shows, different reasons, just haven't had time to get them in. So frankly, we only did the first 4 weeks of the year. I haven't gone for the last 3. So on the year, I'm 7-5. What is the theory behind the locks of incompetence? It is as follows. I have tried every possible way to correctly pick games over the course of my career. I've tried every possible way. Analysis, reading more, trying to learn more, studying, looking at teams going into a game, how well they're playing, film, all that kind of crap. I've done everything. 8-ball, you name it. Tarot cards. Ouija board. All right, enough. We get it. Point is, I suck at it. Suck, S-U-C-K, suck. So with that in mind, this year I have adopted a new approach. And it is simply this. I will pick the Jets and the Giants game, and then I will pick a third game. And I will pick the team based solely on the most interesting fact, most interesting obscure factoid that I can find about either city. And the most interesting one is how I will pick it. 7-5 so far. I was off to a 6-3 start, and then I went 1-2. So maybe this week it'll be better. Because I got a couple of doozies. It is time, once again, to put our fortunes into ridiculous facts hands. What do I mean? I mean, it is time for week 8 of the Locks of Incompetence.
He's tried everything. Analysis. Instinct. Facts. Coin flips. Magic 8-Balls. Scientology. If picking NFL games is right, you can count on him to be wrong. It's time for Carlin's Locks of Incompetence.
That's right. Only did the first 4 weeks, different scheduling issues, you know about it, but we're picking it up now in week 8, 7-5 on the year. Sunday, the New York Football Jets are visiting the Kansas City Chiefs, and those Jets are 20.5 point underdogs. Did you know the tallest water tower in the world, the Union Water Sphere, is located in Union, New Jersey? Jets plus 20.5. Pick one. Pick two. Monday night, the Giants hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Did you know the Passaic River in Paterson, New Jersey, was the site of the first submarine ride in 1878 by its inventor, John P. Holland? Giants plus 12.5. Pick three. The Los Angeles Rams visiting the Miami Dolphins. Did you know Beverly Hills started out as a modest lima bean ranch? Rams minus 3.5. Bingo! Your locks of incompetence. Short and sweet. I forgot my lock sound effect. I don't even know if I have it on my machine anymore. Let's see what it is. Where is that lock sound effect? No, that's not it. Oh, here it is. Ironic. Lock it up. That's right. Carlin, 800-919-3776. So, we are taking the points with the Jets, the Giants, and we are laying the 3.5 with the Los Angeles Rams in Miami on Sunday afternoon. 800-919-3776, open lines right now. You know, when it comes to the Giants, let's spend a few minutes there, because Monday night is an incredible opportunity for the Giants. And that opportunity is to find a way to convince someone that Evan Engram is worth giving up a third-round pick. You know, Dave Gettleman, we understand that given how things have gone this season, and given that we actually still have questions about whether or not Daniel Jones is the guy, Dave Gettleman is in a position right now where he is in job-saving mode. And remember, he didn't draft Evan Engram. I'm tired of potential. I'm tired of possibilities. I'm tired of what might happen for a guy when he is simply just all about potential and not about productivity. And if that moment did not sink in for Evan Engram in what it actually was in dropping that pass against the Eagles, it strikes me that for Engram, it may never really sink in. Like, that was a microcosm of everything that has gone wrong for him in his career. And it really shows that as a Giant, it's not working. It's not working. So why would you pick up a fifth-year option on a player like Evan Engram at this point and bring him back? So what I would be trying to do if I were the Giants, and this is going to sound a little nuts, but given where they are this season, I'd be doing everything I could to feed him the football, to give him every opportunity to look good. Monday night is the football game. Tuesday is the trade deadline. Dave Gettleman made a horrible, horrible trade a year ago when he traded for Leonard Williams and he gave up a third and a fifth round pick. That was beyond silly on so many levels. So here's an opportunity for Dave to get it straight, to go and make up for that kind of mistake and get that pick back for somebody that has not shown they are going to be a consistent NFL player or a performer for this team. I've seen enough Evan Engram end arounds. Boy, I'll tell you what, he looks great, doesn't he, when he runs for 4 yards on that end around? The speed, the potential, whew, it's mouthwatering. The way you could watch him do that, I could watch him do that all day. I could watch him catch those six-yard hook routes, little button hook right over the middle. Could watch that all day. My Lord, this is supposed to be somebody with unbelievable, not just unbelievable athletic ability, but the ability to translate that into great production in this league. Remember how we were told all along that he's supposed to be a matchup nightmare? He's been a matchup nightmare, all right, for the Giants. Because anytime somebody matches up against him, they find out pretty quickly that he can be had quite easily. That somehow he's not going to be the guy to fight through the moment and go make the big play. That rather, he's going to kind of fold up and you can't count on him. That's my biggest problem. When you can't count on a guy like that, we talk so much when it comes to quarterbacks, right? About how long you're supposed to give them. So how long are we supposed to give Evan Engram? Like, everybody's destroying Andrew Thomas right now. And I was not in love with Andrew Thomas when the Giants drafted him. Of the four guys at tackle that were available to them, personally, I had him ranked fourth. Am I giving up on that guy? Of course not. Of course you're not. He is somebody that doesn't look good right now, but I think, and I heard Chris Canty reference him as kind of looking like Eric Flowers a little bit. I think it's early to hang that one on him. But he has not looked good, and he has not looked like somebody that is going to be a dominant tackle for a long time in this league. So how long do you give him? Certainly more than 7 or 8 games. Evan Engram has been hurt. He's been in the league for 4 years now, and when he has been out there, he just hasn't been a good enough player. But tantalizing. Let him go tantalize somebody else for once, because I think that we have all seen enough to understand what he's about. They have done everything they can. Think about that. A tight end around. They have done everything they can to try to make him a big explosive part of the offense. Has that happened? Nope. Not at all. Time's up for Evan Engram. So, Monday night, offensive game plan, Jason Garrett, feed him the football. Hopefully there are some matchup nightmares to be trying to take advantage of. Make him, you know, let him get a few catches. Hopefully he can, you know, get a 20-yarder in there, and then somebody will be like, is worth a third round pick. Let's go do that. He might help us. It's his turn to go disappoint somebody else. There are some interesting names that have hit the free agent market courtesy of non-tenders and options not picked up. We will discuss that. Luke is in new something. New what? New Hyde Park, New Jersey. Luke!
Colin!
Luke!
What's up, man?
What do you got, big cat?
You get me through in the morning during my drive to work in the morning, bro.
And well, yeah, except great. I'm not on.
Oh, wow, 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 wow. Anyway, dude, I think this week this is the statement game for Ben coming back. I don't think none of these six men, nothing. I think it's this one in Baltimore. Our only two games actually mean anything. Obviously, I'm a Steelers fan.
So. Obviously, you are. They're undefeated thus far. I am a Steelers fan as well. And I would look at this game, and obviously it's a measuring stick. I have not been overly impressed with who they have beaten so far this season. So we will get a better feel about what they are on Sunday. How about this? I did not know that. Huh?
That's what I think, though. I think even though being 6-0, teams weren't nothing, but I think this was all of our preseason, just to come up and see what's going on in Baltimore, Lamar Jackson, because I think it's going to be this game and that Thanksgiving game that decides who's the wild card and who takes the division. But I think we're stronger. I think Ben wants it, dude. He's healthy. He's throwing good. Oh, he threw a couple bullshit picks. Oh, my bad.
Yeah, can't say that. See you later, Luke. Can't say that. I was going to say, is it Acapulco Gold tonight, or is it Jameson tonight? Which is it? He let it slide because he was let it slide out because he was talking about, he was making a point about Ben Roethlisberger, and as if we were in fact at the bar. And I understand that. That's often how these things go. Brett is in Rye, New York. Next, Brett, what's going on, dude?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So I've just been thinking a lot about what's going on with the Jets because it's so miserable.
Yeah.
And throughout the past decade, I just think about all the receivers we've brought in, and how now we finally have our quarterback, or so we thought, and we have no weapons. We have Brad, we have Smith, we have literally no names at wide receiver.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, like, why for Chad Pennington we wanted to bring in Santonio Holmes for Aylin Edwards and for Mark Sanchez, but now we have Darnold and we just want to sit around and spend. I know it's fair to spend money on our defense because it's terrible as well, but we've just done nothing on the offensive end.
Well, their primary concern going into the offseason was what? The offensive line. And they were trying to sign Jack Conklin, who was the best tackle on the market, who ended up signing in Cleveland. So after that, they were not going to go out and sign a Nate Solder type, overpay for a second or third tier tackle. So they went out and spread that money around and tried to get volume with some quality on the offensive line instead. As far as the weapons, do you think there are two guys that you could argue about, okay? Should they have paid Robbie Anderson? It's a fair question. It's a very fair question that they should have paid Robbie Anderson, considering it turned out to be only a couple of million more that he got. But how are you supposed to be able to tell that? And he had a number in his mind, Joe Douglas did, when he let him go. And if they had been afforded the opportunity to talk about DeAndre Hopkins, obviously they should have made a trade to try to get him. But I don't think they ever had the chance to have that discussion.
Yeah, of course. And I just think, I honestly think we were probably wasting Robbie Anderson anyway. I don't think he would have done what he's doing there in New York. And I think that I just feel like there was a lack of effort going towards Darnold's weapons. And I just feel like he's kind of wasting away as well. Honestly, I know it's only year three or so.
It's year three, but you need to start to see him get better and you need to get him help. Brett, there's no doubt. Thanks for the call. But if they're in the position to take Trevor Lawrence and he wants to play in New York for the Jets, then it's going to be over for Sam Darnold in New York. What I'm actually excited about, and I am excited to watch the Jets and Chiefs on Sunday. First of all, there is a good portion of me that actually thinks, you know, in a case like this, everybody just assumes the Jets are going to get destroyed. And we saw this with the Chiefs, with the Raiders. I'm not going to say that the Jets are going to win the game, but 21 points is a lot of points. I could see the Jets actually playing some decent football here. And what I really am excited to see is more of Denzel Mims. That's what I'm fired up for. More of Darnold and Denzel Mims. What can Denzel Mims do to help the Jets be better offensively? That has my attention. So we'll see how that plays out. I would be surprised if he didn't get a more than his share of a good look at the football. Mike in New Rochelle. Mikey!
Hey, Carlin, how you doing, bud? First-time caller.
I don't know that you care, but I'm fine. What do you got?
I do care.
Thank you.
You know, we've been talking a long time and about Sammy D and how we think he's a franchise quarterback. I'm, you know, unfortunately, season ticket holder. The two best things I got from the Jets were.
Well, at least you didn't have to pay for it this year.
That was the best thing. The second best thing was when I actually got the refund for my tickets that I had already paid for. So they've already done good in my book for this year.
Yeah.
but seriously, do you really think that Sam Darnold is the answer? Because I don't see anything. I mean,
no.
4 yards and a half is absolutely pathetic.
No, and I am trying to grade it on a curve. I am trying to give him the benefit of the doubt here, Mike, because he truly doesn't have a lot to work with, and the guys on the offensive line have not been great. You know, I think that the guys that they got on the offensive line are guys that are good when they have other really, really good linemen around them. You know what I mean? I don't think they're clearly not centerpiece guys, but they knew that. And I think they could play better if Becton is going to be out there and be dominant as we expect him to be. And I think they can be better if they get another dominant offensive lineman on the other side at right tackle.
You know it. You always, I mean, regardless of that, if a quarterback has it, they always show something. And what has Sammy done?
He's really shown nothing. Listen, you know what the problem is? Here's the problem, Mike. The flashes. Yeah. We buy into the flashes, right? You will see the one throw that he makes that everybody's like, oh my God. Nobody can make that throw. And then you'll see what he could be? That's what you do. But then you stop paying attention to all the things he's doing wrong. You know, all the times he's turning and throwing the ball across the field and throwing it into the middle of the field late, all those kinds of things, those mistakes that just cannot continue to get made. And, yeah, I get it. The kid's got to try to make something happen, but he also has to understand there are times to throw away the football, and he's taken sacks that have been strictly his fault this year. That has happened.
I think that's my biggest issue with him. He just, I don't think he has the football intelligence that it takes, and I think we need a little bit of a change up in QB position.
I don't know that it's the football intelligence. I'd put it more like this. The guy is instinctually just trying to make something happen, and he can't shake that. And thanks for the call. He can't shake that. And if you can't shake it, then you have to figure out if this is going to be your guy for the long term. To me, it can't be. I'm not a Sam guy. I'm not. I thought that he could be a very good quarterback, but there was never anything about him that made me think, yep, this is the guy that is going to be a franchise quarterback for the New York Jets. I thought he could be very good on the high end. But even, you know, the things that he does well, stretching plays out, extending plays, they haven't even made enough of a difference. They haven't. You know, and it's taken Adam Gase long enough to give up the play calling. I do blame Gase here in that he needed to fit his system more around the players that he had rather than trying to jam his players into his system. Coaches who think the system is the difference, they just don't get it. It's never the play call. It's always the player. It's never the play call. It's always the player. When you need those spots, when you need those plays made in the big situations, You need the player. That's it. I get it. He doesn't have a lot to work with. That does not work to his favor. But them's the breaks. Jason in Bohemia is next. Jason, what's going on?
Hey, Chris, and how are you?
I'm Listen, outstanding, Jason. What do you got?
I heard a little earlier you were saying that you're 100% confident that they're going to let Joe D pick the next coach for the Jets.
I said that I am. I did not say that. I said that I would be confident that Joe got in his contract that he would be determining who the next coach is, considering he got a six-year deal and they had to go back to him three times to get him to take the job.
I just pray you're right, because I can't go through another one of these poop shows, you know, that was still with the past so many years. So I caught myself.
That just makes me think of Times Square. Thanks a lot.
All right, have a good night, man.
Oh, that's it. Oh, great. Leave on that note. Good night, everybody. Leave it on the high note. Because I can't watch this blank show. That's great. Fantastic. Thanks, Jason. Wilson in Roxbury is next. Wilson, what's going on?
Hey, Steve, how are you?
You know.
Hey, listen, before I get to my Giants point, it's a different RU team this year. You know, just the way that that sideline was going with Greg Schiano, it is a different team.
Big one tomorrow. I mean, Indiana's nationally ranked after their win last week, and they're on the come. If Rutgers could find a way to win that game tomorrow, I mean, holy cow, that would be something.
You're right.
That would be something.
I got two crazy predictions for you.
Yeah.
You look at the Eagles schedule, and you look at the Dallas Cowboys schedule.
We got to squeeze these in about 20 seconds. Go.
All right. I have the Giants winning the division either at 7-9 or 8-8. If they beat
no chance of getting to seven
tomorrow,
wins. No chance. Next, what's the next one? Quick.
No, that's what I'm saying. If they beat the Bucks on Monday, they go 8-8.
The Giants are not going 8-8, Wilson. You're drunk. Thanks for the call. And that makes me feel worse about how you think about Rutgers. The fact that you think the Giants are somehow getting to 8-8. Holy cow, you really, it is 5 o'clock somewhere. Wow. No chance. No chance in hell the Giants get to 8-8 this year. There are some interesting names that have hit the free agent market courtesy of non-tenders and options not picked up. We will discuss that. Luke is in new something. New what? New Hyde Park, New Jersey. Luke!
Colin!
Luke!
What's up, man?
What do you got, big cat?
You get me through in the morning during my drive to work in the morning, bro.
And well, yeah, except great. I'm not on.
Oh, wow. Anyway, dude, I think this week this is the statement game for Ben coming back. I don't think none of these six men, nothing. I think it's this one in Baltimore. Our only two games actually mean anything. Obviously, I'm a Steelers fan. So.
Obviously, you are. They're undefeated thus far. I am a Steelers fan as well. And I would look at this game, and obviously it's a measuring stick. I have not been overly impressed with who they have beaten so far this season. So we will get a better feel about what they are on Sunday. How about this? I did not know that. Huh?
That's what I think, though. I think even though being 6-0, teams weren't nothing, but I think this was all of our preseason, just to come up and see what's going on in Baltimore, Lamar Jackson, because I think it's going to be this game and that Thanksgiving game that decides who's the wild card and who takes the division. But I think we're stronger. I think Ben wants it, dude. He's healthy. He's throwing good. Oh, he threw a couple bullshit picks. Oh, my bad.
Yeah, can't say that. See you later, Luke. Can't say that. I was going to say, is it Acapulco Gold tonight, or is it Jameson tonight? Which is it? He let it slide because he was let it slide out because he was talking about, he was making a point about Ben Roethlisberger, and as if we were in fact at the bar. And I understand that. That's often how these things go. Brett is in Rye, New York. Next, Brett, what's going on, dude?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So I've just been thinking a lot about what's going on with the Jets because it's so miserable.
Yeah.
And throughout the past decade, I just think about all the receivers we've brought in. all the receivers we've brought in and how now we finally have our quarterback, or so we thought, and we're just, we have no weapons. We have Brad, we have Smith, we have literally no, we have no names at wide receiver.
Yeah.
And I just, I'm wondering, like, why for Chad Pennington, we wanted to bring in Santonio Holmes, Braylon Edwards, and for Mark Sanchez, but now we have Darnold, and we just want to sit around and spend, I know it's fair to spend money on our defense because it's terrible as well, but we've just done nothing on the offensive end.
Well, their primary concern going into the offseason was what? The offensive line. And they were trying to sign Jack Conklin, who was the best tackle on the market, who ended up signing in Cleveland. So after that, they were not going to go out and sign a Nate Solder type, overpay for a second or third tier tackle. So they went out and spread that money around and tried to get volume with some quality on the offensive line instead. As far as the weapons, what, I mean, do you think, there are two guys that you could argue about, okay? Should they have paid Robbie Anderson? It's a fair question. It's a very fair question that they should have paid Robbie Anderson, considering it turned out to be only a couple of million more that he got. But how are you supposed to be able to tell that? And he had a number in his mind, Joe Douglas did, when he let him go. And if they had been afforded the opportunity to talk about DeAndre Hopkins, obviously they should have made a trade to try to get him. But I don't think they ever had the chance to have that discussion.
Yeah, of course. And I just think, I honestly think we were probably wasting Robbie Anderson anyway. I don't think he would have done what he's doing there in New York. And I think that I just feel like there was a lack of effort going towards Darnold's weapons. And I just feel like he's kind of wasting away as well. Honestly, I know it's only year three or so.
It's year three, but you need to start to see him get better and you need to get him help. Brett, there's no doubt. Thanks for the call. But if they're in the position to take Trevor Lawrence and he wants to play in New York for the Jets, then it's going to be over for Sam Darnold in New York. What I'm actually excited about, and I am excited to watch the Jets and Chiefs on Sunday. First of all, there is a good portion of me that actually thinks, you know, in a case like this, everybody just assumes the Jets are going to get destroyed. And we saw this with the Chiefs, with the Raiders. I'm not going to say that the Jets are going to win the game, but 21 points is a lot of points. I could see the Jets actually playing some decent football here. And what I really am excited to see is more of Denzel Mims. That's what I'm fired up for. More of Darnold and Denzel Mims. What can Denzel Mims do to help the Jets be better offensively? That has my attention. So we'll see how that plays out. I would be surprised if he didn't get a more than his share of a good look at the football. Mike and New Rochelle. Mikey!
Hey, Carlin, how you doing, bud? First-time caller.
I don't know that you care, but I'm fine. What do you got?
I do care.
Thank you.
You know, we've been talking a long time and about Sammy D and how we think he's a franchise quarterback. I'm, you know, unfortunately, season ticket holder. The two best things I got from the Jets were,
well, at least you didn't have to pay for it this year.
That was the best thing. The second best thing was when I actually got the refund for my tickets that I had already paid for. So they've already done good in my book for this year.
Yeah.
but seriously, do you really think that Sam Darnold is the answer? Because I don't see anything. I mean,
no.
4 yards and a half is absolutely pathetic.
No, and I am trying to grade it on a curve. I am trying to give him the benefit of the doubt here, Mike, because he truly doesn't have a lot to work with, and the guys on the offensive line have not been great. You know, I think that the guys that they got on the offensive line are guys that are good when they have other really, really good linemen around them. You know what I mean? I don't think they're clearly not centerpiece guys, but they knew that. And I think they could play better if Becton is going to be out there and be dominant as we expect him to be. And I think they can be better if they get another dominant offensive lineman on the other side at right tackle.
You know it. You always, I mean, regardless of that, if a quarterback has it, they always show something. And what has Sammy done? He's really showing up.
Listen, you know what the problem is? Here's the problem, Mike. The flashes. Yeah. We buy into the flashes, right? You will see the one throw that he makes that everybody's like, oh my God. Nobody can make that throw. And then you'll see what he could be. That's what you do. But then you stop paying attention to all the things he's doing wrong. You know, all the times he's turning and throwing the ball across the field and throwing it into the middle of the field late, all those kinds of things, those mistakes that just cannot continue to get made. And, yeah, I get it. The kid's got to try to make something happen, but he also has to understand there are times to throw away the football, and he's taken sacks that have been strictly his fault this year. That has happened.
I think that's my biggest issue with him. He just, I don't think he has the football intelligence that it takes, and I think we need a little bit of a change up in QB position.
I don't know that it's the football intelligence. I'd put it more like this. The guy is instinctually just trying to make something happen, and he can't shake that. And thanks for the call. He can't shake that. And if you can't shake it, then you have to figure out if this is going to be your guy for the long term. To me, it can't be. I'm not a Sam guy. I'm not. I thought that he could be a very good quarterback, but there was never anything about him that made me think, yep, this is the guy that is going to be a franchise quarterback for the New York Jets. I thought he could be very good on the high end. But even, you know, the things that he does well, stretching plays out, extending plays, they haven't even made enough of a difference. They haven't. You know, and it's taken Adam Gase long enough to give up the play calling. I do blame Gase here in that he needed to fit his system more around the players that he had rather than trying to jam his players into his system. Coaches who think the system is the difference, they just don't get it. It's never the play call. It's always the player. It's never the play call. It's always the player. When you need those spots, when you need those plays made in the big situations, you need the player. That's it. I get it. He doesn't have a lot to work with. That does not work to his favor. But them's the breaks. Jason in Bohemia is next. Jason, what's going on?
Hey, Chris, man. How are you?
I'm outstanding, Jason. What do you got?
I heard a little earlier you were saying that you're 100% confident that they're going to let Joe D pick the next coach for the Jets.
I said that I am, I did not say that. I said that I would be confident that Joe got in his contract that he would be determining who the next coach is, considering he got a 6-year deal and they had to go back to him 3 times to get him to take the job.
I just pray you're right because I can't go through another one of these poop shows, you know, that was still with the past. So many years, so I caught myself.
That just makes me think of Times Square. Thanks a lot.
All right, have a good night, man.
Oh, that's it. Oh, great. Leave on that note. Good night, everybody. Leave it on high note. Because I can't watch this blank show. That's great. Fantastic. Thanks, Jason. Wilson in Roxbury is next. Wilson, what's going on?
Hey, Steve, how are you?
You know.
Hey, listen, before I get to my Giants point, it's a different RU team this year. You know, just the way that sideline was going with Greg Schiano, it is a different team.
Big one tomorrow. I mean, Indiana's nationally ranked after their win last week, and they're on the come. If Rutgers could find a way to win that game tomorrow, I mean, holy cow, that would be something.
You're right.
That would be something.
I got two crazy predictions for you.
Yeah.
You look at the Eagles schedule and you look at the Dallas Cowboys schedule.
We got to squeeze these in about 20 seconds. Go.
All right. I have the Giants winning the division either a 7-9 or 8-8. If they beat
no chance of getting to 7
tomorrow,
wins. No chance. Next, what's the next one? Quick.
No, that's what I'm saying. If they beat the Bucks on Monday, they go 8-8.
The Giants are not going 8-8, Wilson. You're drunk. Thanks for the call. And that makes me feel worse about how you think about Rutgers. The fact that you think the Giants are somehow getting to 8-8. Holy cow, you really, it is 5 o'clock somewhere. Wow. No chance. No chance in hell the Giants get to 8-8 this year.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.